The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Gentlemen and lowlifes, your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, we are from the current to the way back, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Playa, Mr. Phil Rea, and my tag team partner in crime is...
Mega, woo, by God, Powers.
What's going on?
Just chilling, man. How you doing?
I had a great day. I'm not going to lie to you. Interesting couple of days. How was your Kung Fu Festival this past weekend?
It was off the hook. I got to see one of my favorite films on the big screen, Master of the Flying Guillotine. We had that playing. And, I volunteer with the New York Asian Film Festival. And last year we were graced by having Jackie Chan at the festival. But... our Jackie Chan t-shirts didn't come in until a few weeks ago. So finally we have the Jackie Chan t-shirts, which are now safely in my house because I'm going to be working their online store.
Oh, awesome. I'm so pissed, man, because this is the second year I had a bunch of crap going on and I couldn't make it. But before we get into anything else, we are live on the Rant, rantemradio.com. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. Quick scheduling programming note for the Rant. AA and the boys did not come on last night. They will be on this Friday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you want to hear AA, Tony C, Surfer, Rage, and the rest of the crew, tune into that. And, of course, your regularly scheduled programming resumes Saturday at 11 p.m. with Rage and Mr. Will I Am Morgan, the Wrestling Call-In Show. And you have Surfer on Sunday with What Are You Reading? Mm. And a bunch of stuff going on with the Wizards, but I don't want to get into their stuff until we start talking about the news, because we got some news.
We got some news.
All right, let's get right into it, because we have a kick-ass throwback. If you guys were listening before, I played a little bit of the the remaining 10-15 minutes of our throwback tonight. So I hope it came out all right. And I played a little Freebird tribute to Terry Bam Bam Gordy, who would have been 53 years old today. So happy birthday, Bam Bam. I was actually watching some old World Class today. They had a penalty box match from 1983 on the network. It was the Freebirds against Iceman King Parsons, Kerry Von Erich, and Chavo Classic.
Damn.
How about that, huh?
Shout out there, but ding of a thing right there.
Yeah, man. We played the Axel Foley music. It is our buddy Axel Foley's birthday. No, not Eddie Murphy, who people who are new. It's our buddy Axel Foley, a buddy from upstate New York. I think his name is Jamie, right?
So, James.
James, right. So I keep calling him. I don't know his real name. I know him as Axel Foley.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, Axel.
Happy birthday, Axel Foley.
Yeah, man. And I also played the Mr. Perfect Tito Santana IC title tournament final that Mega Powers posted today. 24 years ago today.
Damn, that's like people are 24 years old now, and yeah, that match is 24 years old.
I watched it on a black and white television in my bedroom. If you can believe that shit.
I can believe that.
All right, let's get into some news. Sadly, upon Daniel Bryan's return from his honeymoon, his dad passed away.
Man, that's some shit.
Yeah, guy was healthy, apparently. Nothing wrong with him. And he just passed away, sadly. So
no cause of death mentioned?
They didn't mention anything yet. We just knew he was a healthy dude. There was no medical problems. Wow. Yeah, DB actually requested to work that night, last night, Monday night on Raw.
So how did that go? I missed Raw.
Well, he has a title match at Extreme Rules with Kane. Kane now has the mask. He's not Corporate Kane anymore. They had Kane totally destroy him. Like, Kane gave him a tombstone on top of the steps. WWE.com reported the kayfabe injury he suffered. Daniel Bryan suffered neuropraxia, which in layman's terms is a contusion of the spinal cord after getting tombstone, like I said. Raw was okay. I mean, Evolution and the Shield, that's going to be heating up for Extreme Rules in the week. So
when is that going down?
2 weeks.
2 weeks? All right. This will be my first time actually watching a live pay-per-view on the network in my own home.
In your own home, right.
Not your home, my home.
I know. You don't have to. You can come over if you want. We're not having anybody over. It'll be just you. So if you're always welcome to come over, brother. You don't just need to come over for WrestleMania.
I know.
We'll do SummerSlam probably. That'll be like the next big thing over there at the Decca Dome. We'll go all out. We'll do a nice barbecue or something. All right. So I don't want to be the I told you so, but we got some. Well, you know, before we get into that, let me just get into something else. Before I get into my fucking rant, because I'm full of piss and vinegar about this.
I bet you are.
I want to give a shout out to our network friend and my Twitter friend. We're not best friends, but he talks to me a lot, and he's a cool dude, and I know he's got a lot of shit going on, so I'm glad he's getting his shit back together. Mike Mondo, former Spirit Squad member who worked for ROH and a bunch of indies, since being released in the WWE in 2008, worked a dark match last night in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
WWE?
Yeah, he jobbed to Bo Dallas. Mondo tweeted, and I quote, "Man, it felt great to perform in a WWE ring tonight. A long time coming. Thank you, everyone, for the love and support. Hashtag boom." If you don't know Mike Mondo, that's his thing. Boom and hashtag no fear. It's actually like one of my kids' favorite ring cards when we play the card, you know, the dice game. Mm-hmm. So Mondo is a big deal over here between the Spirit Squad, Ring of Honor. He's a New York guy, Strong Island, and he's a really nice guy. So I'm happy for Mondo. He's been on the Shining Wizards. I got to speak to him at Legends of the Ring last year. Really cool freaking dude, and I'm really glad he's getting his shit together. So I really hope WWE keeps him around. Maybe they'll put him back on TV at some point. So we hope nothing but the best for Mr. Mike Mondo.
Simply the best, like Tina Turner.
That's right. That's right, Mega Powers. Very good.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into first of all, Nancy Grace had a wrestling segment she was going to fucking pull off.
What was it going to be about? Like, I heard about it through, like, you guys, but, you know, I didn't really look in depth about it.
Headline news host Nancy Grace was planning a pro wrestling segment for this Thursday night with the indie star wrestler RG Brewer as her guest. The segment is no longer planned, and no word yet if it'll be rescheduled.
Mm.
This is just another ploy for this dish rag to talk about
steroids.
Yeah. To put some more dirt into the open wounds that are the Ultimate Warrior and the other crap that was going on back in the day, not even, you know, currently.
Hey, we all know Owen Hart died of steroids. Had nothing to do with him falling off of that 30 feet in the air. Harness. It was steroids.
You know what, Dave? I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I'm glad that we got to her.
Yeah.
I mean us. I mean the internet wrestling community, the public in general.
IWC.
Yeah, the IWC blew her spot up, apparently. And guys, don't get it twisted. She's not going to lose her job. It's going to take more than that to have her lose her job. She's just an ignorant cunt who knows nothing about professional wrestling, nor does she know anything about sports entertainment, and she tried to bank on a current event that went viral because of the popularity that was and is The Ultimate Warrior, which, by the way, if you guys, if you have the WWE Network, speaking of The Ultimate Warrior, go check out the tribute stuff. It is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. The four-part series is, it's just, you know, it's really, you know, inspiring, and it's great to actually see, you know, a little, was it The Ultimate Legend or something like that was the name of the program?
Yeah.
The documentary about him coming back to the WWE.
I caught that today with the roundtable with Josh Matthews, Booker T, Sergeant Slaughter, and Teddy Biasi.
Yeah, it was that one too, you know, especially, and I'm glad that both Sarge and specifically Ted DiBiase, you know, let it be known that they weren't the biggest, you know, Warrior fans, that they had their issues with him in the past, but, you know, they were willing to be on the show, you know, to talk about the, you know, focus on the positives, not get caught up in all the negatives, because we know they exist. You know, I probably know more than other people, but, you know, the guy always did me right. So I have, you know, the utmost respect for him. I'm glad, you know, a lot of, you know, hatchets were laid out and all that, you know, were buried. And what was I going to say? You know, I'm just glad that they're doing the right thing with all this. I was even surprised that Hogan was the one who came up to Warrior to issue an apology, you know, issue an apology to him, you know, for their past and everything that they've been through. So it's been a, you know, remarkable, what has it been, 2 weeks now since
that's
happened?
Yeah, you know, Hogan's another one, though. Hogan had beef with everybody, and then when they died, he jumps on a bandwagon. So I take what he says with a grain of salt.
But Warrior didn't die. He apologized to him backstage for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know. I just think he hasn't seen him, and he kissed his ass. So I take a lot of what Hogan says with a grain of salt, and no disrespect to anybody who was a Hogan fan.
Yeah.
This is not kayfabe. This is like Phil shooting. A lot of what he says since his book came out, like in 2008.
It's just, you know, full of hot air.
Yeah, yeah. I don't put a lot of validity about what he says. So
I'm with you on that for the most part, but you know, just the fact that you know, whether he was doing it for selfish reasons or not, you know, I'm sure the guy just wanted to some degree, you know, put a lot of that stuff in the past, because you know, Warrior really tore his ass apart on YouTube years back. But you know, I think at the end of the day, nobody wants beef. You know,
No, I mentioned this last week. These guys are like, they're old now, and yeah, they're more 50s, humble.
Some of them in their 60s,
right? Birthday boy's in the chat room. I hope he liked his little. I like his little tribute we started with in the beginning. Yeah,
Sting.
All right,
Real quick, I'll say this: I commend Hogan for at least having the balls to go up to Warrior. That was a cool thing. And you know, real quick, I actually got to go back to the Underground Strength Gym today with Zach Evanish, and this was the place where you know, we filmed the pilot for Warrior University. So it was cool to catch up with him and actually hit him up with a copy of the Warrior Blu-ray, because I know. Recently, he's been on a rampage trying to find the Warrior workout start kit.
Oh boy!
Because Warrior was, you know, he was selling this this kind of almost like a personalized workout kit, and you had to pay like $150 for it. So he's been trying to track that down, and he also tracked down the Warrior workout VHS tape. So you know, Warrior Wildness is still going down in New Jersey. That's a fact.
I'm really happy about the tribute stuff that's going on. I'm really happy that I'm actually going to buy a shirt. That shirt's fantastic with the face paint logo on. I'm going to actually pick that up. And Steven Tyler's daughter had it tattooed on her calf.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Liv Tyler or?
Oh, I think the thicker one, the cuter one.
Oh.
The media one. I like the media one. You know how I get. Okay. I like the big girls. But anybody has a clip of that, a link of that, send that to Mega Powers in the chat room. I'm sure he'd like to see that.
So. Yeah, I would love to see that.
All right, so
I'd rather see it on Liv Tyler, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't. She's all, Don't get me started. It's another podcast. I don't have no time. Ain't nobody got time for that, Mega Powers. Come on now.
All right.
Let me check my list here. Raw, we did. Axel Foley, happy birthday, we did. All right, the updated Extreme Rules pay-per-view is Bray Wyatt, John Cena, Kane versus Daniel Bryan, and The Shield versus Evolution so far. Nothing talked about War Games. Although there's the Battleground pay-per-view this year is scheduled to be in the St. Pete's Forum out in Tampa. I love that place. I saw a hockey game there on my bachelor party. Nice arena, and they do have room for double cage. So if they were going to do anything War Games related, that would be the spot to do it right now, apparently.
Now, all this War Games talk, is this like stemming from, you know, some sort of, inside source, or is this wishful thinking?
Well, a little bit of both, because they keep shooting back and forth on Twitter, Triple H and Roman Reigns, about war this, we're going to war. And WWE has been putting out a lot of surveys about what you'd like to see back. And actually, that's one of the Facebook questions tonight about another survey that was brought up with indie wrestlers. We'll get into that in a little while. But a lot of surveys have been out there, and a lot of people like us have been asking for War Games. So, speaking of Roman Reigns, big win this weekend for Double R. He fought Randy Orton in singles competition in Saudi Arabia. And,
wow.
And beat him clean.
Really?
Yeah. So shout out to Roman Reigns, man. They're going to push him to the fucking moon, probably.
Yeah, I know they've been there's been a lot of emphasis on him. And actually that Saudi Arabia gigs that they've been having, they've been posting those on Instagram and stuff like that. So they've been putting a lot of attention on that as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. Good for him. And I'm glad.
Yeah.
I like this feud. I do.
Anytime new talent is, you know, propelled that deserves it, you know, that's always a good thing. And it, you know, obviously a lot of the dudes like Orton and Cena and Batista, you know, they've been around for, it's almost unbelievable for me that they've been around for 10 years in the main event scene.
All right.
So, you know, to have that change is, you know, change is good.
Yeah, true that. True that. All right. Well, I hate to say I told you so. Not you, everybody. Not just you.
I know. Well, I knew from the start. That's why I never went to any of those shows. I never spent a red dime.
Monday afternoon, Extreme Rising took down their Facebook, Twitter, and website feeds and then sent a mass text message to all their consumers canceling this weekend's show. These weekends are coming shows. Now, the only reason why I saw this was because our good friend Mike Norenganger from the Midnight Jury posted on his Facebook status, I should have listened to Phil, and went on this tirade about, you know, Extreme Rising and how the guy who runs it, Scott O'Neill, I think his name is, this guy is a fucking bag of douche. Now, I mentioned a few months ago that I signed up for, they were doing a card here in Staten Island for WrestleMania weekend last year. $50 meet and greet, party, barbecue, the whole nine yards. They were using the Warriors of Wrestling, you know, their training facility, like a half a mile from my house. And I was going. I was sold. Extreme Rising, backyard. I can almost walk to this place. Yeah, why not? I'll do it. And it canceled. Took them almost a year to get my money back. Now, again, I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but I'm just for the new people who didn't know about my rant a couple months ago. It wasn't the fact that I lost $50. It was the fact that these fuckbags were promoting shows and getting a TV contract 6 months in advance, advertising it, and not paying back their fans that bought tickets almost a half a year prior. And I think that's bad publicity. And I think it's bad business. And now
it's a risky business.
Now, and on top of that, this guy's not returning calls. He's not returning people's messages. He can't refund anybody's money. So Mike and Adam are out $60 pretty much. And they'll, you know, cover it. They're trying to get me to go to PWS, but I don't have a ride, sadly. I want to go to PWS this weekend. They're going to be going out there to, what town are they in Jersey? I forget. I think it's Rawway. But yeah, they're going to
it's Rawway.
They're going to PWS instead, and they should have been going there from the get go because they put on a better show. Plus, they come correct. But that's besides the point. I don't like. First of all, I understand what they were trying to do in terms of the Extreme Rising, bringing back some of the old ECW guys. They put the belt on Stevie Richards, and they were showcasing newer talent, guys like Luke Hawks and Greek God Papadon, who was going to be on the Shining Wizards tomorrow. Both of them will be, actually. So, and Luke Hawks posted something a week ago about getting screwed out of money, and he still has their title. So I hope the fucker keeps it, and I really hope and I please I, it's either Eddie or Matt doing the interview. I know Tony's away, and Kevin will probably Eddie, Kevin, Matt, if you guys are listening, I hope you're listening tonight after I put this up, or you're listening now, please, 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 please ask him if he's going to keep the belt, and please ask him how much, and not even ask him, just ask him to prove how much of a dickbag this guy is, you know? So, again, for everybody who lost their money, including the Midnight Jury, we're sorry. Go see PWS instead. They run shows every month. They almost sell out. You know, it's a long night if you go to the autograph session, but it's still a good time. Dave and I can test for that. We've been there a few times, and they're a bunch of good guys, and we know them personally, and they come correct. So go to ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. That's where it's at this weekend. And cheap plug for them. Shout out to everybody at the 2.5 Wrestlers and Jay Silver and all those guys too. Kevin Matthews and co-owner and Pat Buck and all those other cats. So that's pretty much it with that. I don't know if I have one more news item, and then we could do Facebook questions. Take a quick break. Yeah.
We're having some issues with the chat room right now, so hopefully Double A's on the case.
What's up with the chat room?
They can't chat.
They can't chat.
They're getting like error messages.
Oh well, have them refresh the page. If I refresh the page, I'm gonna get the audio. I don't want the audio.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, guys, if you're listening. And I hear Dave typing some. They must be doing something on Facebook too. So that's cool. All right. Yeah. One more piece of news. Speaking of the old ECW arena and all this other nonsense, there was a press release yesterday. There's a documentary coming out called Wrestling with Disaster. It's been in production for about you heard about this?
No.
It's a documentary.
Wrestling with Disaster.
Yeah, it's been in production for a year and a half. It's going to be completing its final shoots this weekend, beginning Friday, June 13th, with the Pro Wrestling Seminar featuring the Powers of Pain at the world-famous Monster Factory. That's Larry Sharp's place out in Paulsboro, New Jersey.
Mm.
The crew will continue filming the entire day, June 14th. I can't go. June 13th is Mikey's birthday, so I can't go anywhere that weekend. But they're going to be doing it June 14th at the arena, formerly the ECW arena. They're going to be doing a three-hour boot camp from 3 to 6. Team hosts with lights, camera, action, autograph session. Has a lineup of wrestlers and celebrities. They're doing a 7 p.m. bell time. They're going to be doing a documentary shoot. It's going to have, like, a barbecue and a whole bunch of stuff going on. So, let's see. Door collar match. Shane Douglas versus the Pitbull, Gary Wolf. The Samoans versus the Powers of Pain. Sabu versus Too Cold Scorpio versus Jesse Sorensen. And also including the Hardcore Hall of Fame. See website and Facebook event, for the entire event. And then there's a after party for 21 and over till 2 a.m. Party with the wrestlers and the filmmakers. Buffets included with entry fee. Beer and liquor are available. Interesting.
Time to get ripped.
Yeah, interesting. You know, so good for them. Hope that all works out for them. And let's see. One more. You know what? Let's just do this real quick. Let's see. It's been mentioned. Let's see. John Cena is selling 5 more times merchandise than the number 2 seller in the WWE. I just wanted to put that out there. 5 times.
Wait, Cena is selling merchandise 5 times more than the number 2 guy.
Right.
Who's the number 2 guy?
I'm going to say CM Punk. Daniel Bryan is number 1 right now. They didn't mention him by name, but it's CM Punk probably. So
Matt, you know, imagine that the man hasn't done shit. And if it is CM Punk, they're not even really chanting his name anymore, are they? Wait.
Yeah. So, yeah, there is an error. The website is offline. I hope we're broadcasting. Can they still hear us at least?
I have no idea.
It says 13 listeners are online. I just hit refresh and it says browser. Your browser's working. Cloudflare. I don't know. Host error. I don't see AA on Skype at the moment. I don't even think he's listening. I don't even think he's home. I don't have his. If anybody from the rant has AA's like contact number information, can somebody hit him up, like Rage or Tony C or some whoever's listening?
I'm gonna put the feed on for a little bit just to.
All right. So while you're doing that, you want to do some Facebook questions before we go to break, or?
Yeah, let's do the Facebook questions now.
All right, you got them up, please, if you don't mind.
Yes, I do.
All right, Mega Powers.
Hold on a second. Let me. Got a million pages going on right now.
Hear that. You're a busy man.
Yeah. All right. First question is from Shane Marcel.
Hold on one second.
Okay.
All right. Rage. Hello. Rage is trying to call in.
Rage. Evening, sirs.
Rage, you there?
Rage.
Got me evening, sirs.
What's that?
I said evening, sirs.
Oh, what's going on? Listen, we're about to do the Facebook questions. Can you have any of AA's contact information?
Yeah, AA isn't he doesn't like me like that. They have his number.
All right, cool. All right, because the chat room is down, so
I'm gonna try and get in contact with them. But you guys are still broadcasting.
We're still broadcasting. Yeah. That's what I wanted to know.
It's just the chat room that's down.
All right. All right. Well, listen, I just wanted to make sure somebody could call
in. If they want to chat, you know, maybe use the Facebook page to chat.
All right.
Yeah, that'll probably work.
All right. Well, we're going to do Facebook questions and then get to the throwbacks. I got to cut you off, but if you know anything, hit us up on the Facebook or when the chat room gets back up, we'll see if we'll take calls in a little while.
I got you.
All right, brother.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Rage.
All right, go ahead, Mega Powers.
All right, first question is from Shane Marcel Campany. I hope I'm pronouncing that last name right. Favorite pro wrestling novelty that you've seen or own?
Wow. Well, you want to go first? You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I probably own some weirder shit than this, but I'm just surprised that they even released it in the first place and that I own it too. Back in the day when the early Coliseum videos, you know, were released, one of them, I forgot which one. I think it was in the one that I got for bloopers, bleeps, and body slams.
Oh yeah,
but it came with a booklet on how to wrestle. It was like a step by step, like, you know, it's a very small book. You know, how to put a headlock on, how to body slam somebody. I'm pretty sure if they released that now, they would be in like a shitload of trouble. But I have it, and I can body slam anybody at will.
I have the wrestling album on vinyl, and I also have a oversized. Dave's seen this in my man cave. I have an oversized Andre the Giant beer mug. Ugh. Like it's Andre size. It's what he used to use as a drinking glass. With Andre on it and in the stats on the back. It's from 1985. It was given to me by my wife and her sister. It was from their collection. And I got a bunch of, like, old magazines. I got a piece of a mat from a WrestleMania. I have a Rocco Rock and Johnny Grunge broken table, piece of a broken table.
Wow.
When they put Stevie Ridges through flaming tables. I have that. I got some stuff.
You know, that reminds me, there's another thing that I own that's I didn't even know it existed, and when I found it, I bought it immediately, and that's the 12-inch vinyl single for Grab Them Cakes.
Oh, I'd love to have that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It has a dance mix on the B-side.
Of course it does. Why wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Come on now.
It's like an instrumental or some shit like that. Or right. No, I think the whole single is just like the dance mix. version of that. Like, if you weren't, like, juking already to grab them cakes, they had to bring it back with a remix.
He said juking.
Well, that's what the dance was called. It was called the juke.
That's awesome. That is awesome. All right. What's the next question?
So I can juke at will with grab them cakes on vinyl at my house.
All right. So what's the next question?
Next question is from our man Baza. What wrestling event in history would you guys like to have been ringside for?
Ooh. Let's see. Any of the war games. We'll talk about war games. I would have loved to have been ringside at WrestleMania 20. I was almost ringside. I was on the ramp side. And I was seven rows from the ring at SummerSlam, 88.
Wow.
So maybe SummerSlam. I got a nice view of Elizabeth's ass when she took off that skirt to show her little bikini.
So, I wish I was there for that. That's definitely, I wish I was ringside for that one, on her side of the ring for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, her ass was facing us.
Nice.
So, yeah, I got that. That was cool.
So that's one. For me, I guess some of the other ones would be, you know, definitely WrestleMania 6 for Warrior and Hogan, and WrestleMania 7 for Warrior Savage, and throw another one in there. You know, I've read about it, can't find any video of it, but I would love to have been ringside for Hogan versus Iron Sheik at the Meadowlands.
Oh, the rematch.
Yeah, where I think, like, was Sheik was trying to rip the American flag or something like that. The flag was involved.
He almost incited a riot.
Yeah. I wanted to be there for that. That's something, like, you know, I pray to God it's, like, somewhere on tape in the WWE archives, and, you know, it's just waiting for that right person to pull it out, and I just hope I'm alive when it happens and it's unveiled. Oh, and get this. I found out one of the dudes that I work with at the New York Asian Film Festival mentioned that he was actually offered a job to work as an archivist at WWE, but didn't get the job because he was not a wrestling fan and didn't know anything about wrestling.
Oh, Jesus.
Ain't that some shit?
Ain't that some shit? You know what? One more thing I would have been like to have been ringside for that I was there.
Uh-huh.
I was at that awful snowstorm Meadowlands card when Sting, when Flair beat Sting.
Sting.
For his sixth World Heavyweight Championship match.
Yeah, that would have been good to be.
But that wasn't even the best match on the card.
You mentioned the cage match.
The cage match with Doom against Arn Anderson and Barry Windham. That I was like in the I would have loved to have been ringside for that, just to see Flair win the belt like up close.
Oh yeah, like you that's know. First of all, that's amazing that you're even at a Flair World title change.
Yeah, that was lucky.
That's history right there.
It was lucky, first of all, because the kid who gave me the ticket says that him and his dad didn't want to drive. And I took, like, a neighbor with me, and we fucking schlepped it from Queens. It was, like, 3 hours to get out there because of the weather, and I didn't care.
Oh, my God.
So, all right, what's the next?
Hell of a night to be a part of.
Oh, dude, it was so good. So, all right, let's move on to the next question.
It's not even a question. It's just a comment. Old school Sable bra and panties match. You know, why the hell not?
Yeah, why not, man? Why not? Anything? I mean, anytime you could see a lot of skin like that from hotties up close,
and you're
not paying for them to dance for you.
You know, I was never a big Sable fan, and I even felt when she was, you know, there at that time, like she looked, you know, a bit old.
Oh, dude, it was so good.
She was still hot.
Yeah.
She was hot for an old broad, I'll say that.
She was hot for an old broad.
So thank you, Matt, for that question. Next one is from Scott.
Scott!
And thanks to Scott for immediately posting the warrior tattoo from... you know, Steve Tyler's other daughter.
Because our fans are the shit. That's why.
His question is, what indie wrestlers would you like to see join the NXT roster? And I know he's doing this as a survey for WWE. And I answered this. I think it was on his Facebook page. And my pick would be Chris Dickinson from Beyond Wrestling. The guy, you know, I know the guy personally. I've seen him wrestle. He's a fucking animal. You know, this is a guy who needs exposure. He needs to be put out there, and you know, any of the guys from Beyond, you know, period, especially guys that are you know, were part of the former Doom Patrol, which was Jaka, which, you know, my man Johnny Mangway, Pit Boss,
yep,
and Chris Dickinson, you know, but my top pick, Chris Dickinson, just because he's fucking old school as hell. His promos are on point. The guy, his gimmick is right there. He's a fucking raging animal, and he needs to be, in my opinion, in the WWE.
Well, I mean, you can go that. I mean, I'm gonna rape CZW right now and take A.R. Fox and Drew Gulak and ACH, and then I'm gonna rape and pillage Ring of Honor. You know, I'm a big Briscoes mark.
Oh yeah,
the Briscoes, Steam.
Reignite that WWE tag team scene with the Briscoes.
What about bring Chris Hero back? You know, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, Red Dragon. You know, I would give Red Titus a run. I would, you know, guys like Adam Cole, fucking, I mean, that whole roster is fantastic, dude. Those guys can work. All of them can work. I would take guys like Kevin Matthews from PWS. I would take the lifeguard guy. What the hell was his real? I forgot your real name. You know, guys like that. Mike Dell, that's his name. The lifeguard guy. I'd take him. I would, I'd put Pat Buck back in it. Pat Buck can still go. He's not an old man. He's only 30 years old. Let him fucking run.
He's only 30. Wow.
Yeah, Pat can go, dude. Pat's legit. You know, I would give Janelle even a try. Joey's talented, man. He's got, like, different characters and, you know, Joey can move, man. I would give a lot of guys that run. The Bone Saw guy is good. Oh, the PWS has good guys, man.
Yeah, you know, they've been up in their game since that first show that I went to that the Wizards and I totally shat on. But last show that I went to, the Queen show, I think it was the first Queen show.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Was really good.
Yeah. I would rape and pillage Ring of Honor. Fucking, I mean, they'd have nothing left.
Yeah,
all those guys deserve to be on TV, especially Steen and Cole and the Briscoes and, you know, I mean, if you're going to go the small guy route, like I said, Drew Gulak, that, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's guys that can legit go, you know?
And I think nowadays this is probably more the, you know, time for the smaller guys to shine. You know, the big guys, they've had their opportunities and stuff like that, but in my opinion, it's always been in my opinion, it's always the smaller guys that, they got more of the talent and they got more of the personality than the bigger guys.
Dave, I totally forgot. Guys like Omega and Prince Devitt. Are you kidding me? I totally forgot about those. I mean, you could probably rape and pillage every indie top.
Well, that's the thing. You know, Prince Devitt might already be signing with the WWE. So,
well, this is let's say they're talking about now, and a lot of guys got involved in this discussion today.
Yeah.
Shout out to Deck and all those other guys that got involved. I know AJ Maggot. AJ wanted to call in tonight. I told him if we were taking calls, he can call in. All right. So go ahead, man. I'm sorry. What's the next question?
Next question is also from Scott. He's asking, what would you do to start saving TNA and getting Dixie off of TV is a given?
Well, I mean, do we want to beat a dead horse? I mean, we've talked about this a million times.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, they got everything that they need. They just really need to just, you know, tweak a few things here and there. It's what was it? Tony Robbins says, you know, you're just a millimeter off, you know, and they really just need to adjust themselves to that millimeter and they'll be fine.
Quick update. The boss just messaged me. The chat server is out completely. I can't do anything about it since it's the provider. So, unfortunately, there'll be no chat room for the show tonight. You guys can
use the Facebook.
Use the Facebook page. Dave's got the Facebook up. And if you're listening, God bless and thank you. We appreciate it. And we apologize. Shit happens. So,
yeah.
So, and that's pretty much it. All right. Go ahead, man. What's what else?
Okay. Again, Matt. My boy Matt Ecclestone. Not really a question, but a comment. Well, it's kind of a question comment. Could always do the wrestler casting of Hollywood movies. I guess he wants us to cast the wrestler with the wrestlers or X-Men or Avengers or G.I. Joe. How phrase your question more clearly, and we'll get to that. We did that in the past.
Yeah, we've casted movies before.
Yeah, we'll do that. You know, more thoroughly. Pick a movie, and we'll do it on the air.
Yeah, we'll do like an open. We'll do one of our open mic nights. We'll recast movies at wrestlers. How about that?
Yeah,
I know. Back in the day, Wizard magazine was a magazine about comic books.
Yeah,
and the editors and the writers would recast. They would cast movies with comic book. They would cast comic book movies with current actors and actresses, and that was always interesting. So okay, so I that would take way too long anyway. So
yeah,
that's a Facebook thread, and then we'll do an open mic night for that. So go ahead, brother. Next one.
All right, so I'm hollering back at Uptown Georgia. He says, "Whatever happened to the hot tag? You don't see this anymore. It's a lost art form. Where, you know, what are your thoughts on this? It's not just the hot tag. There's a lot of stuff that's missing from tag team wrestling today. You know, doing shit behind the referee's back. You know, double team moves, stuff like that. And
how about matching tights? How about using the tag ropes?
What about tag team names?
What about tag team names? Right. You have Beer Money. You have the Usos, but you have." You know, the American Wolves. I mean, ROH still does it. PWS does it. A lot of indies do still do it. It's a lost art form, unfortunately, for the older school guys. You know, and this sparked a huge interest today on Facebook. So Dave and I are going to have a huge announcement at the end of the show regarding tag team wrestling in the month of May. We'll get into that in a little while.
Yeah, just real quick, you know, I've said it in the past, and I actually heard JR say it on his podcast last week, and it's really – what it really comes down to is a lot of guys today don't want to be tag team wrestlers. They, you know, they want to create themselves just as singles wrestlers. So a lot of why tag team is a lost art is just because you know, a lot of guys just don't want to do it, and you know, it's a hard thing to do when you share in the spotlight with people that you don't want to share the spotlight with. You know.
Yeah, and speaking of the month of May and all that, well, you know what? I'll get into it. I'll get into that when we do our announcement. I just found out something that you don't even know about, so I'll make that announcement when we do the announcement for May. All right. What else? What else we got going on?
All right, let me see. The next question is, do you think it was worth Sergeant Slaughter giving up his G.I. Joe deal for the WWE Championship?
I don't think he gave it up. I think it's just a sign of the times. I don't think G.I. Joe was selling in 1991 as well as it did in 1986.
Yeah. Frankly, it put his name on the map a lot more than I think WWE would.
But Sarge was a name anyway in the industry at that point, almost 20 years. So it's not like a thing where... You know, Sarge sold the Garden out. Don't get it twisted, guys. Sergeant Slaughter's been around for a minute.
Yeah.
Sarge has done the circuit. AWA, Mid-Atlantic, WWWF, WWF, and WWE.
Yeah.
You know, don't get it twisted. Sarge has been around, you know. I don't think he gave it up. You know, I was a teenager, so I know for a fact that, you know, I had cousins who still play with toys. G.I. Joe was not a hot toy in 1991. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
So at that point, G.I. Joe had blew its wad, and we love G.I. Joe here, by the way. I have the first two seasons, so I love it. You know, I wish my kid would get into it. Maybe he will eventually. It's still good. It still holds up as a good show.
Not too many cartoons do from...
No, not too many from the 80s, no. No, not at all.
And, you know, I think for Sergeant Slaughter, it was just another way for him to kind of branch out from just, you know, doing wrestling, which is a smart move, you know. If you can, you know, especially back then... If you didn't have a cartoon character, if you didn't have a serial, you know, you weren't, you know, top caliber. So for him, getting on the G.I. Joe cartoon and the movie and all that, that was a big deal. You know, that kind of solidified him a bit more than, regardless of how big he was in wrestling, this took him, you know, several notches higher, in my opinion.
Right, right. Okay. What else?
Next question is, again, from Baza Smith. What was the last thing that really made you smile about wrestling? And for me, just how they've been treating the whole warrior thing put a big smile on my face. And I got to admit, you know, still having days where, you know, I break down a little bit. But, you know, it's stuff like that. It's just like such a class thing. And, you know, I'm not going to go into it any further than we already did today. But that's the last thing that really put a smile on my face concerning wrestling.
I smiled for WrestleMania, as well as Warrior stuff, but I smiled for Mania. I enjoyed Mania. Mania was, I was beaming. We were all beaming after Mania. It was great. It was great.
I told everybody. I told you so. You did. WrestleMania was going to be great.
You did. You absolutely did. All right. What else we got?
Okay. Uptown Georgie got another question for us. Could a tag team like Jay Youngblood and Ricky Steamboat get by in this era? Another tag team that comes to mind was when they beat the Road Warriors back in the day.
Oh, the Sawyers, yeah. I mean, they were great. I mean, they were four or six time tag team champions. Jay Youngblood and Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah.
They are the highlight of our throwback tonight. Yeah. You know what, dude? Any of those teams back then that were technical can probably hold up.
You know, if guys like Brian Danielson, D. Bry, as we call him, Cesaro, who else? Guys like Pac, you know, if they're
Swagger, those guys can all.
Sami Zayn, you know, these guys are all wrestlers. They're not, you know, sports entertainers. They're wrestlers. And if they're getting over today, you're damn right, Jay Youngblood and Ricky Steamboat can get, you know, be on top. As far as guys like Brett and Buzzsaw, I haven't seen as much of them, so I can't honestly make a call for them. But if they beat the Road Warriors, then hell yeah.
All right. What else we got?
Last question is, what are your top five worst matches ever? And this is from our boy Rage.
Oh, boy. Worst matches ever?
Yeah.
Oh, there were so many.
Oh, there's too many.
Yeah, dude, I you know, you got to give me, you know what? That's got to be one of those
open mic nights.
Yeah, you know what? There's so many. You could break it down from era. You could break it down. I mean,
yeah, I think we're gonna have to save that for another night, because that one's gonna take some thinking.
And is that all the questions for this week?
Yeah, that's all the questions for this evening.
All right, MP, let's take a quick play some plugs. We'll get back. We have a kick ass throwback for
you. Oh, hell yeah!
Tonight. Oh, I'm so stoked about this, man. I watched it like three fucking times. And on top of that, I even got my hands on a YouTube copy of the entire tour of that particular era of that of those matches. All right.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are live on The Rant. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. And we will be right back.
G'day folks, AJ here. When you finish listening to this fucking podcast, head on over to iTunes or Stitcher and check out myself, Lee and Punch on the Fucking Bloke Show.
We talk about a whole variety of topics like comics, cartoons, movies, television, and sports.
And we're often joined by guests like Deck from Ireland and other friends from all over this wonderful planet.
Once a month, we jump into the DeLorean and take a look at the history of professional wrestling.
And once a month, we look back at actual history with TWiT, This Week in Time.
And once a month, we talk about whatever the fuck we want to talk about.
So please follow us on Twitter at TBSPOD.
And talk to us in the Facebook group, The Bloke Show.
And I don't give a fuck what you cunts do, just listen to this fucking thing.
Take a look at the...
Comic Thieves Podcasting Network.
What the fuck?
Hey, Felonious Punk here, and I'm interrupting an otherwise quality podcast to let you know about our little show, NXT Cast. It's the only international podcast devoted to the future of the WWE, NXT. I'm joined each week by Chris NXN Nixon and the Austrian cyborg Bernard Binder to go over the latest NXT rumours and news, as well as an in-depth analysis of the latest episodes and the current roster. So if you're looking for a wrestling podcast that covers arguably the best in-ring product that WWE is producing today, then find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic and NXTcast.net, the international podcast devoted to the yellow and black, NXT Cast.
Hey kids, you like the show? Do you like the logo on the show? Well, we put the logo on a t-shirt, Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks and buy the shirt. The shirt is cheap, and it helps the show with original artwork by Dean Stahl. So what the hell are you waiting for? prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Buy the shirt. Buy the shirt. Buy the shirt! This is Dustin Rhodes, the Bullet of Woods, the three-time world heavyweight champion, baby. And when I'm not getting funky like a monkey, when I'm not looking for baby doll, and when I'm not getting my ass kicked by the four horsemen, I'm listening to Mega Powers Radio, baby, on geeksoftheindustry.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and at the end of a lightning bolt. Ooh, Blue Eyed Soul, Dustin Rhodes getting funky like a monkey with the Mega Powers Radio, if you will. Hey, it's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. When you're done with our show, head over to the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, home to many great shows covering a variety of topics, including pop culture, heavy metal, music, sports, television, movies, and, of course, wrestling. Shows like The Fallen Angels, Stickman and Apex Radio, The Wolfman Jack Foley, Just Incredible's Pro Wrestling 101, The Midnight Jury, Two and a Half Wrestlers, of course, us, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, The Neckbreaker Podcast, and, of course, The Shining Wizards. So what are you waiting for? Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com right now. Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. As soon as you're done with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, head over to rantemradio.com. That's right, rantemradio.com. We got you covered all week. You got the rant live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. You got the Turnbuckle Throwbacks every Wednesday at 9 p.m. You have the wrestling call-in show every Saturday at 11 p.m. And on Sundays, it's What Are You Reading with the Surfer at 6 p.m. It's the opinions you love, the history you crave. It's Rant EM Radio. Just beat it. All right. RantEMRadio.com. We are back. Welcome to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Dave.
Yeah.
Do you know why I played Michael Jackson's Beat It?
Why?
Because this week, in the week of the of our throwback, March 12th of 1983, this was the number one song according to Billboard charts and radio. So Michael Jackson was... Michael Jackson ruled half the year, apparently, that year.
And he wasn't raping kids like he did later on.
My bell is still in the car, damn it. Ring your bell. Thank you, fucking animal.
Hey, you know, talk to those kids about Michael Jackson. They'll probably tell you how much of an animal he was. And wait, didn't he turn into like a cheetah or a panther in a video?
I think so, but this is before he touched his face, or this is before he did anything stupid. This was like hardcore. This was one of the best albums.
He thought he was a tough guy, and
this is one of the best albums ever made, actually. So,
yeah,
in my opinion, I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan. I don't care. But all right, are you ready for a throwback, David?
Oh hell yeah!
Let's play the music.
And now here is your throwback of the week. Sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
All right, we're kicking it back, like I said, This is March of 1983, I should say. Did I say 82 before? No, I think I said 82.
I think you did, but the feud did start in 82.
Well, I'm going to go. That's what I was going at. So this is Mid-Atlantic, the National Wrestling Alliance. This is Final Conflict 83. Now, to paint the picture for you, in September of 1982, Don Knotel, tag team specialist back then, and Sergeant Slaughter,
yes,
won the NWA World Tag Team Championship in a fictional tournament final. Now, I mentioned this last week when we had the six-man tag debate, that the NWA did this a lot. When guys would rotate out of the promotion and they were champions, they would have these quote-unquote fictional tournaments or title changes, phantom title changes they're called, and they never came to pass.
Yeah.
But they would tell you this in magazines and publications and even on television.
Yes.
Now, so Slaughter and Knotel apparently won the tag team titles in a fictional tournament. The promotion claimed that they had been beaten. They beat Antonio Inoki and Giant Baba in Tokyo, Japan. After Stan and Ole Anderson were forced to relinquish the belts, and they were champions since February of 28th of that year. Now, Ole Anderson sustained a major injury. That was legit. So they had to relinquish the tag team belts. They just made it look like Knotel and Slaughter, who were hot, white hot at the time.
White hot.
Yeah, they were. They were hot.
There's no other kind of hot than white hot.
Right. Which brings us now to March 12th, 1983. This is Dave, obviously, the pre-pay-per-view era. This is the tail end of pre-pay-per-view, because now
Do you want to go through the build-up, or you want to go right into the match?
You want to do the build-up?
Yeah, I want to do the build-up.
Yeah, do the build-up.
It's not just about the match. It's about how this match came together, because it's a big deal. You found all parts. I saw them a while back, and, I recommended this because specifically because of the buildup, because the buildup is what makes the match the match. And, that's one of the things that we're always complaining about. There isn't much of a buildup. These guys are just thrown together, all this other kind of shit, and it's which is funny because, a lot of people complained about the deep rye, slow burn. And, this was a slow burn. This feud was a slow burn between Knotel, Slaughter, against Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood, and it took time, and they just infuriated the friggin' crowd to no end, and they pulled out all stops to this. And I was reading an interview with Don Knotel about how literally, like, overnight, him and Slaughter, they decided hey, we need to make money with this gimmick. We got something here. And overnight, they wrote out the entire plan up to the cage match for how this feud was going to go down. And again, it was white hot.
Now, I had the mic on mute. I was eating some pretzel thins. I actually skipped dinner tonight. I was just running around like an animal. Now, we have 23 MP4s.
Yeah.
You want to play one or two of these? Because even a jobber Rick Rude is in one of these.
Yeah, a jobber Rick Rude getting his ass handed to him was in one of these. All right. Let's go through, we'll breeze by them one by one. Anything that really sticks out, we'll play a clip. How does that sound?
All right, so Knotel and Slaughter befriend a third guy. What was the guy's name?
Private Jim Nelson.
All right. So Jim Nelson is now a friend. Because now they're playing off like it's a military thing.
Yeah, because initially it was Knotel and Nelson who were privates. Knotel was a big baby in the Mid-Atlantic region and turned on one of his partners. I forgot whom at the moment. And, became a huge heel from that. And went under the wing of Sergeant Slaughter, who, classic mentor style, I'm going to make you a man. I'm going to make you a champion. Right. So he made him a private along with Jim Nelson. We'll talk about a little bit later on. And, you know, initially these two guys were a tag team. And the first clip, we got them against Terry Taylor and a guy who was hot in Mid-Atlantic, Tim Horner. Unfortunately, he didn't really go on to much. But
Well, it doesn't really heat up until part four.
Yeah.
And this is the reformation of Jay Youngblood, Ricky Steamboat going, and then actually now with the with Nelson and the champ. So let's take it to Bob Cottle and a very well built stud looking Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood.
Nation right here and now. We hear that Sergeant Slaughter and Don Canuto came all the way back from Tokyo with the World Tag Belts. I'd like to congratulate them. That's fine and Danny, but Jay and myself, we're out to get them back.
That's right, Rick. I'll tell you what. Like Rick said, we'd like to congratulate them for bringing them all the way from Tokyo, Japan, back here in our backyard. We're going to give it our 110% and hoping that these people here, Rick, will support us like they used to before. Like I said, we got a couple of rusty spots, but we're going to smooth those out and we're going to give it
all. It's a matter of time.
And good luck to you fellows.
All right, so there you go. They play it off like, oh, you went to Japan, congratulations. We want a title match.
We want the belts, the uncrowned champions.
All right, so let's go to part five, and let's see here. I want to get more of the promos in there. I don't want to play the whole matches and stuff like that. I want to, you know, because this is all, like I said, this is the build up, but I want to have. You know, let's see. This is, hold on 1 second. So,
well, we just saw, as we said, the uncrowned World Tag Team Champions. Here are the World Tag Team Champions, Don Kernodle, Sergeant Slaughter. That's exactly right. And we demand a little respect because we've been traveling all the world over, wrestling all the great tag teams. And we get here, where are they? Where are all the great teams? Where is Steamboat? Where is Youngblood? Where is McDaniels? Where is the Briscoes? Where is Valiant? Where is everyone? We thrive on competition, and that's what we want. You tell them about Sergeant Slaughter.
That's right. You know, we have our wrestling gear on the limo right in front of the studio here, and we'd be more than pleased to go out there and wrestle somebody. We'd be pleased to be in this ring on television right now in front of all you Magnus fans at wrestling and showing you our ability, because we know that when we go to any arena, we are now the highest paid athletes in this country. We are the highest paid men in professional wrestling because we are the World Tag Team Champions. That's what we are. And we're looking for some competition. Something like Ricky Steamboat.
Right. Hey, wait a minute, Valentine. Oh, that belongs to Rick Steamboat. That belongs to Rick Steamboat.
Would you shut up for a minute? I just found something that the cleaning lady forgot to throw out.
What is this?
What is this, the uncrowned World Tag Team Champions? You gotta be kidding me.
That's a joke.
That's a joke. That's the biggest joke I've ever seen. What an artist.
Here's
You
know, Tommy Peterson, you call them the uncrowned champions. You know, you didn't do a bad job of artwork here. It looks a little bit like Youngblood. You know, it kind of smells like wild rice. That does look like Ricky Steamboat. Look at the one muscle there. And it does smell a little bit like coconut.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's one thing you did wrong.
I forgot the slanted eyes right there.
That's right. One thing you did wrong is you said the uncrowned world champion. And one thing, I don't like kids. I don't like kids anyway. But I'd like to put my cigar out in Ricky Steamboat's face and in Jay Youngblood's face and rip up this picture of theirs. But have me, give me that feather. Give me this rip up those feathers. And these are for Tommy Peterson. Here you are, Tommy Peterson. Here you go, Tommy Peterson.
Right here,
here's your name, Tommy Peterson. That's why we are the World Tag Team Champions. That's nothing but garbage. I hope Tommy Peterson enjoys his feathers. I hope Tommy Peterson enjoys his lace. And I can't wait. Maybe this will get us a match on television. Maybe this will do it to you, Youngblood and Steamboat. What do we have to do to get a match? I think we just proved it right there.
All right, fans. We'll see you next week. And until then, so long for now.
Well, if that doesn't spark an interest to the champs, from the champs to the challenges. Now, mind you, this is the champions asking for a match, not the challengers. They took Greg Valentine comes out and takes a artwork from a young fan,
Tommy Peterson.
Tommy Peterson. And they poke fun ethnically at Steamboat and Youngblood, calling them Wild Rice.
Like Wild Rice.
And
you know,
coconuts.
How else are they going to call it?
I like the fact that, A, it's 1983 and they can still do that.
Yeah.
And it's tongue-in-cheek and it's, it wasn't meant to be really racist, but it's funny. And that'll never happen on TV again. Thank God we have it now.
Yes.
In my private collection. That's A. B, the fact that Sergeant Slaughter still calls people maggots is awesome.
Yeah. He was dressing up in some sharp suits during these promos.
Yeah. Which one do you want to play?
Turtleneck sweaters?
Let's see. You want to play this one?
Well, wait, before we move on, you know who actually drew the painting or drew the picture?
Tommy Peterson.
No. In reality, do you know who actually drew the drawing?
No.
It was Slaughter's wife.
Really?
Yeah, Slaughter's wife drew the Tommy Peterson portrait, you know, of the uncrowned tag team champions.
I didn't know that.
And they tore it to shreds and put the cigar out in Steamboat's face and you know, got tons of heat for that. And tore up the Indian headdress that they were going to present Tommy Peterson with.
Right. All right. Well, this is we're going to skip a couple of parts. This is a promo called "If These Belts Could Speak," and now you have the champs cut another promo with the very vocal David Crockett.
Sergeant Slaughter and Don Canole. You saw some people out here already, Jack and Jerry Briscoe, that could be after that championship.
That's exactly right. You know one thing, Mr. Crockett, if these belts could speak right here, you know what they'd say? They'd say, you know, Sergeant Slaughter and Don Canole are the best tag team in the world. The best tag team in the world, and no other wrestlers in the world are good enough to wear us. We're the best in the world, and what we're doing around here is making a few examples. We made an example out of a little stupid Indian a few weeks ago, and I want to say one thing else. Sergeant Slaughter and Don Canole is going on a making example crusade, and we're going to be making a lot of examples around here. And if you don't believe what I say, you just tell them what you're talking about, Sergeant Slaughter.
You know, every time I see what we did to Jay Youngblood, it really gives me a feeling of greatness. It makes me feel good. Every time I pass by a cemetery, I think of Jay Youngblood. And any of you wrestlers out there who want to tag up and go against the World Tag Team Champions, you look at that film. And if you're excited about getting that ring against Sergeant Slaughter and Don Canole, you're about as hypocritical as a funeral director that's trying to act sad at a $10,000 funeral. Because we are the greatest tag team combination that ever wore these belts. And like Don Canole says, if these belts could talk, they'd tell you what's happened. There's nobody going to stop us.
I get excited. I think about Jay Youngblood when I go past a funeral.
Cemetery.
The cemetery.
Oh, you skipped some good stuff before you got to this promo. They had a match. Well, actually,
The match is
No, they had a match like at a house show leading up to the cage match. And this is well, first
right,
of all,
no,
actually,
that's part 13. That's the rematch.
No, there was a match before that rematch.
Not according to this, no. Not according to my parts here. What part is it?
It's part 7.
The Slaughter Cannon? That's a Sergeant Slaughter promo.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play that.
Well, let's we don't have to play it. We could just let me talk about it a little bit.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. You're right.
Because they can't see it.
No. You know what? I will.
I can play Cannon, the clothesline. His debut.
All right, let's take you now. I'm sorry, you're right. I skipped the part. I apologize. This is you're about. Okay, it's match is almost on. Here it is.
The first one I've ever used it on, and you'll see right there.
There it is.
I didn't even care about my old partner right there. I just wanted to hurt him bad, and because of Don Chernobyl's shape and the way he's in condition, he got up. You don't see Jay Youngblood getting up there.
That's what you're referring to, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right there. The Cobra Clutch.
I'm with you.
Nobody's ever gotten out of. Nobody ever will get out of. The referee said, okay, he's giving up. I said, he hasn't given up. I didn't hear him say, I give up. Now, I don't know where his partner is. If I was his partner, I'd be in there helping him. Now, where is his partner, the so-called great wrestler? Right here.
It's so brutal. Look, they had to
censor it. Yeah.
What was going on there was so brutal, they could show it on television. But I'll tell you what, Jay Youngblood's going to be out for some time. I understand that Ricky Steamboat has canceled every match that he's had here so that he could be at Jay Youngblood's side because he's very hurt. He's hurt bad. And you know what's going to happen? I hear that Ricky Steamboat's going to retire if Jay Youngblood cannot wrestle as a tag team again. So I guess that's it for you, Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood.
Fans, we'll be back. We'll have more right after we take this time out.
What's astounding is that you can use all the ethnic slurs you want, but you show a little color with blood on TV and
I don't think it was just that. It was the fact that he put him in the first of all, the Slaughter Cannon debuts, and I think they ended up calling the move the Atomic Bomb because he was doing the clothesline off the top while Carnoodle was, you know, holding Youngblood up. And but he put him in the Cobra Clutch, and Carnoodle grabs him by the legs and starts yanking on him.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's when they put they block everything out. It just says censored on the screen. And we're gonna hit everybody up with the videos after this.
Yeah,
so we'll get to see it all. But it was so gruesome that apparently Jay Youngblood was physically damaged enough where Ricky Steamboat, you know, according to them, was going to retire.
All right, so
damage done during this match.
All right, so we're halfway through to the clips. This is part 10, breaking the Cobra Clutch. Now, I'm not going to play the entire near 8-minute clip. I'm going to play the beginning of it, and I'm going to play the end of it, and you get the idea of how now this is going to come to pass. Love that disco music.
Welcome to Worldwide Wrestling. We've got an exciting program for because there are two young gentlemen back with us.
That's
and
right.
They can't wait.
And we have a lot of action going to be packed in this hour because Sergeant Slaughter and Don Carnoodle are going to be here, but so are Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood. They're
That's
all
right.
Going to be
yeah, Steamboat, Steamboat and Youngblood are back now from the injury.
Back.
All right, so Steamboat and Youngblood are fighting the match. They're heels, but they're ripping through these jobber guys, right?
Yeah.
All right, so now we get through this, which is, again, these matches, tag team matches were pretty long back in the day.
Even for the jobbers.
Right.
Well, I think I talked about that a little bit on the Facebook group, you know, WWF, WWE, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, so Youngblood and Steamboat get the win.
Yeah. NWA, they work their job.
And now they're confronting Sergeant Slaughter at the interview table.
He's challenging you.
Come on, Youngblood challenging Slaughter.
Come on, why don't you come on for it? This man is challenging you.
They were so mad. They got the pin. They ran over to the interview table. The interview, the wall over there.
Yeah.
So Jay Youngblood now breaks the Cobra Clutch, which is Sarge's hold, by the jobber guy. Jay breaks it with a sweep, like almost like a reverse Russian leg sweep.
Yeah.
So that's
pretty much a Russian leg sweep, but while being put inside of the Cobra Clutch.
All right, now Jay Youngblood and Ricky Steamboat are very, very pissed at this point. And Jay Youngblood is so pissed that he breaks out the big headdress. Let's take you now to David Crockett.
Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood, especially, I'm glad to see that you're wrestling.
Thank you very much. I'm very, very fortunate to be wrestling, David. Especially after what the world heavyweight champion, tag team champion, Sergeant Slaughter and Don Knudel did to me in a coliseum.
I love how Jay Youngblood sells it.
I'd say about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
And he's talking like he's out of breath.
Almost broke my neck. Made a comment. He goes, I thought you were dead. I thought you were never going to be able to make it. Well, I'm back, Carnoodle. I'm back, Slaughter. And I'll tell you what. Your Cobra Clutch is no longer. As far as I'm concerned, as far as Rick is concerned, as far as these people are concerned. Because I proved it in front of you, in front of everybody else. I broke your Cobra Clutch. Is that right or not, David?
That's right, you broke it.
And I'll tell you what, Slaughter.
That's right, you broke it.
You might be able to get a hold of that film and review it, not one or two, maybe 100 times, and figure out how did Jay Youngblood get out of that. Well, let me tell you something. There's not only one way to get out of it. I studied your Cobra Clutch. I broke it once, one way. I can break it again, another way. And I want you to remember that.
Rick,
you know something, David? While this man was laying up, while this man was unable to move, the only thing that we could do was have a lot of hope that he would be able to come back and wrestle. I made a comment about 5 weeks ago when he was injured that if this man was not able to come back and wrestle, that I was going to quit tag team combination altogether. But while he was laid up, day in and day out, I drilled it into this man's head to review that film of how could he figure out a way to get out of the Cobra Clutch. After all, that was the particular hold that did the damage to his neck. Well, like he said, Slaughter and Canoodle, he's figured out a way. He did it to Nelson right here on TV, the one way. But let me say something else. He's got another way also. They're back to stay.
Oh, they're pissed, Dave. They're pissed.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, they broke the Cobra Clutch, or so they think.
Yeah.
Slaughter has something to say about that, doesn't he?
Most certainly does. Take you right now back to David Crockett.
Guys, you're in trouble.
No.
Broke the Cobra hold.
Right.
He broke it.
Let me tell you something about it. Another one just bites the dust. All the world over, we've been making examples everywhere we go. There's another one everywhere we go. Examples. Sergeant Slaughter now. I've never been so surprised in all our lives. To see who the uncrowned tag team champions about. Uncrowned tag world tag team champions about. What a surprise. I can't believe it. Look at that, hurt both of them. I saw the match. I was out here. I saw the Cobra Clutch put on Jay Youngblood. I figured it was all over. He's going to hospital again. But he broke it.
That's right.
He broke a Cobra Clutch.
The Cobra Clutch.
He didn't break my Cobra Clutch. The Slaughter's
nobody breaks Sergeant Slaughter's Cobra Clutch. That's nobody. Right.
And when I come off that top rope with that atom bomb, nobody can.
The atom bomb,
anything.
He calls it.
No matter if it's a headlock, arm bar, or a Cobra Clutch. When I come off that top rope and Don's holding that man, that atom bomb comes down across their neck. We can fit any man we want in this wrestling world. But we put a little more into it, and we try to hurt you, young blood. That's why we put the Cobra Clutch on you. You can have any counter you want, but you're not getting out of my Cobra Clutch. And you can take that to the bank. I'll bet you $5,000 right here you can't break.
Five grand.
I made a little pact between us.
Listen, 31 years ago, $5,000 was a lot of money.
Yeah, now it's like 500.
Right, exactly. All right, move
on. But, you know, the man makes a great point. It was not Sergeant Slaughter's Cobra Clutch that he broke. It was a far inferior Cobra Clutch from Private Jim Nelson.
All right, so now the next clip was the rematch, which I think they had this wrong, because this was supposed to be after the fact, right?
This was after the match that we saw previously that we talked about.
Right, so this was the
rematch. Things were heating up.
Right, so this is the rematch before the cage match.
The rematch before the cage match.
All right, so let's go right toward the end of it so we can...
Continue at. Look at Canoodle. He's on Jay Youngblood. Slaughter's head is cut. They went outside the ring. Inside up. Now we had to call the wrestlers in, John.
Yeah, now the wrestlers are in. Bob Armstrong's in there.
The mess.
I think I see Roddy Piper in there.
Score. They still want to go at each other. A wild, wild inning, and no wonder this is being called a bloodbath.
Now, you see, guys, this is how you build a match. This is how you build a match. This is, Dave and I have 23 clips. So what do you think? That's 4-8, like, I don't know, at least 2 months worth of build up.
I think it was a lot longer than 2 months, because, you know, also figure into this, and, you know, NXT does this, you know, wonderfully. You know, when they say something's coming up, you got to wait like another 2 weeks before you see it, you know, like a rematch or a promo or whatever. So I can imagine this probably went on for maybe 4 months or five. Who knows?
All right. So who – I couldn't find this guy's info, but who the hell was Sandy Scott?
He was the commissioner of the NWA.
Yeah, but he was a former wrestler apparently. I didn't know anything about this guy. So Sandy Scott now is going to come on television. He's going to lay down some – he's going to levy some fines. So let's go take you now back to David Crockett.
Yeah.
And Sandy Scott, like I said, the NWA has to do something. I think you're here for that.
Well, David, the NWA board looked at this here piece of film that we just seen here, and certainly has to something has to be done about it, and they are going to do something about it. I'd like to call in Canuto and Sarge over here. The conduct that you showed in this match and other matches that they've had, the NWA is going to levy a fine at you, and it's one of the biggest fines that the National Wrestling Alliance has ever given out.
Well, what about Steamboat and Youngblood? They were involved in this match. How about them getting fined?
Don't worry about them.
Well, I'd just like to say to you, Sandy Scott, you know, when I found out yesterday morning that you and the NWA Board of Representatives looked at the film and you got a hold of all the referees and all the promoters all over the country, and you said that we were going to be fined, and like you said, the biggest fine of all, I was very, very angry at that time with you, Sandy Scott, and the National Wrestling Alliance. But after I talked to my partner, Don Cornuttle, and we spoke to our lawyer, we had decided to take the matter the way we should as gentlemen. We know what the fine was, and I have to say it was a big fine, and we just like to pay this fine to you, Sandy Scott, the National Wrestling Alliance. And with this fine, take the check. We want to say to you, the National Wrestling Alliance, the wrestling fans, and especially Steamboat and Youngblood, that we're finished wrestling them. They're not going to get any more shots at this title. We're finished with them. That's it.
Thank you for your fine, but you will wrestle them one more time.
What are you talking about, wrestle them one more time? We've got commitments. We're supposed to be going to Japan. We're going all over the world to defend these titles. And we've got a great big vacation planned for ourselves in Hawaii, 3 weeks off in the sun, and we're not wrestling no Steamboat and no Youngblood anymore.
Well, you fulfill your commitments, but forget about your vacation, because you will be wrestling them one more time in a title match in March.
No way. We ain't wrestling nobody in March. We're on vacation in March, Sandy Scott. No way. And I told you before, we're not wrestling them. We're not rushing them. We're the champions. We got something to say around here.
No matter what you say, you are going to wrestle them one more time for a title in March and in a cage.
And a, no! No way! You're not putting us in a cage! Sandy Scott! No! No!
There you have it. Sandy Scott laying down the law. Jay Youngblood,
yeah.
Ricky Steamboat versus Don Knoedel and Sergeant Slaughter for the World Tag Team Championship inside a 15-foot-high steel cage. Now, there's more fines, Dave.
Yes.
Take it out of Bob Cottle.
Steamboat, Jay Youngblood out here. We wanted to talk to them about what happened and what happened with the World Tag Team Champion, Sergeant Slaughter, and Don Knoedel, and also what the NWA has told Slaughter and Knoedel that they got to do. And right here they are, Rick Steamboat, Jay Youngblood.
How you doing, Bob?
Rick, we saw it. The fans the film, and they saw what happened. And I can tell you, and I know you two fellows are simply sick about it.
You know something, Bob, that's true, very, very true. Jason and myself, over the years that we've been tag team combination, have stood back and stood back behind our own wrestling abilities and used it in the ring. We understand that over the past couple months, the things have been turned around. The run-ins, the brawls that we've been having with Sergeant Slaughter and Don Knoedel, there's really no real explanation for this and other than the fact that we're trying to get those belts as hard as we can. We're trying to get them for the fans, and they're not letting us do it. And it just came out to it just broke out into a big brawl.
All right, and right here behind me, yeah, our special representative for the NWA for this here is Sandy Scott. Sandy?
Well, Bob and Ricky and Jay, as you've seen by that film, that was a back alley brawl. That wasn't professional wrestling. And the NWA has slapped a fine on you fellas. And may I add, it's one of the biggest fines ever in professional wrestling.
Oh, and these fellas here too?
Yes.
We've been fined also.
Yes, you've been fined, Ricky Steamboat, with your fucking members only jacket.
I'm sort of stunned by that. And I
love Bob Cottle. He's stunned.
Well, we can't have
I had that same jacket in 85.
He's stunned, but no emotion from it.
Right. I had that same jacket in 85, by the way.
We're going to hit them in the pocketbook.
I tell you, Sandy, that's a pretty tough blow. All right, now wait a minute. They've conferred over there.
How long do we have for this fine to be paid? I'm sure, like I said, it's the biggest one in NWA history. Well, how long do we have to, you know?
You have to go to the Indian reservation and sell your cigarettes to get your to get your fucking money. All right, Jay Youngblood, get over yourself. Come on, man. Come on, man. All right, this is a promo pumping. This is a quick promo after the more fines were levied by the special advisor Sandy Scott.
Yeah.
They are the world's tag team title holders, Sergeant Slaughter and Don Canole.
You know, I'm still a little bit hot about you, Sandy Scott, for what you're trying to do to the world tag team champions. Well, tonight, you're putting up against Jack and Jerry Briscoe, and that's not bad enough. They want to take these titles worse than anybody. So Jack and Jerry Briscoe, remember one thing. When that bell rings tonight, I've got you on my mind. I've got Steve O'Neill on my mind. I've got cages on my mind. Fines, whatever it takes, you're going down.
Yeah. Now we go to the contract signing. Do you want to play the whole thing? It's like almost 3 minutes long. It's just...
Yeah, let's play the whole thing.
All right, here's the contract signing for Final Conflict.
Why not?
All the conditions of the contract has been met. All fines have been paid.
And everybody's in suit jackets, by the way. I'm just pointing that out to you.
And Slaughter in his turtleneck,
is
right?
Is the special condition that we talked to you about He's with our suit. Lawyer in this contract at this time?
Yes, it is.
May I see the contract?
Certainly.
Here's the best stipulation of them all.
The stipulation that we talked over with Sandy.
Yes, that's what's wanted.
It's all in there. It's okay. That's it.
Go ahead.
It's okay, son. I'll be more than happy to sign.
Thank you. You see, this condition is really shaking.
Could you initial the condition, please?
Or anything you'd like.
Excuse me, Mr. Scott. What condition are they talking about?
The condition is Ricky and Jay. If you lose this match, you will not wrestle as a tag team combination again.
You mean if we lose, we won't be able to wrestle again?
As a combination.
You mean if we lose this match, we won't be able to wrestle as a tag team combination together?
That's the stipulation that they wanted.
Could I have a minute to talk it over with Jay, please?
Definitely.
Take all the time you like. You got all day.
This match will be held on March the 12th, Greensboro.
They got to talk it over? Like, really?
One fall.
Well, hey, it's a big choice.
No time limit. The title will be up. A cage match.
Sarge looking all sorts of snazzy in the 80s, man.
By the NWA.
Yeah, got his comb over going.
Steamboat Youngblood. You got enough confidence to sign a contract? Mr. Slaughter, it's not that we're cowards. It's not that we don't have any confidence within this tag team combination, but a stipulation... A condition as strong as this one. We got to realize if we don't win this match, our tag team combination is dissolved. It's finished. That's something that we had to talk about. But to answer your question, we're going to go for it. We're going to sign this contract. They never can wrestle as a team again if they don't defeat us, not only here but all over the world.
We understand that. Yes, we do. We understand that.
And then,
I want to wish both teams the best of luck on Saturday, March the 12th in Greensboro Coliseum.
Now, I got to say this, for a contract signing, nobody fought each other. This was kind of a almost unprecedented kind of, event.
All right, so now Steamboat and Youngblood are pissing them on out. It's some kind of conspiracy theory now against them, and... this, that, and the third. So let's go halfway into this on this next clip.
Both sides, you didn't know which one, how many guys were coming, or which way you're coming for. I think it sharpened your timing, your coordination. You guys are ready. Go for it.
Thank you. Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, I know for the past several weeks, Jason and myself have been talking about a conspiracy. We've been talking about a conspirator. We've been talking about a man behind the lines, behind the scenes, somebody that's been helping us out a great deal. And everybody wants to know who he, this man is, especially Sergeant Slaughter and Don Canoodle.
Dun, dun,
would Mr.
Dun.
Jim Nelson come out here, please?
Jim Nelson, what?
Attention, Maggot, and I'm talking to you, Private Gomer Slaughter and Mighty Midget Canoodle. Yeah, the World Tag Team Champions. You're real great, and you're real stupid, too. You never thought it was me, did you, Slaughter? Yeah, I got your hat. I tore your coat off, Canoodle. I got your whip, I got your whistle. And if you want it, you better come get it, because I got sick and tired of you pushing me around, driving your limousine everywhere, taking you out to eat. You eat steaks, and if I wanted something, you'd eat something at 7-Eleven. I got sick and tired of it.
Nothing wrong with 7-Eleven, you fucking ingrate.
And Jay Youngblood, after you purposely put him out of wrestling, and I said,
that's 7-Eleven today.
I want to get Sergeant Slaughter, and I'll do anything to get him. I'll show you the Cobra Clutch. I'll show you how to give the Slaughter cannon properly, and I'll show you how to break that Cobra hold, and that's exactly what I did. And they promised that they would help me get you, Sergeant Slaughter, get you in the ring, and give you the beating of your life you deserve. Nobody does that to me. I don't owe you nothing no more. And I'm going to get you, Slaughter, and these guys are going to get those World Tag Team belts, because I'm going to see to it. You're talking about somebody can do push-ups and can run. These guys can do it. No more for me, buddy.
You know something, ladies and gentlemen? We just brought it all out in the open. We'll see you, Slaughter, Canoodle, March the 12th in Greensboro.
Man, what's up with that?
Of all people.
What an ingrate.
Private Jim Nelson had to give away all the trade secrets of Sergeant Slaughter's.
And Don Canoodle, I don't understand. Like, this guy was like their protege. He was a fucking job guy. And now what? Because they're not giving you enough attention?
They're not giving him enough 7-Eleven food?
What a big bag of douche. Wow.
So Steamboat and Youngblood paid this guy off.
Right.
To get all the trade secrets of the Slaughter camp.
Well, you know the champs are pissed.
You know, Private Nelson, what is wrong with you, Private Nelson? You know, a lot of things have happened. I don't have to go into that. But now I find out that you're the one that had the hat. You're the one that got the coat. I never suspected it. But Nelson, do you know what you've got yourself into? On March 5th at the Charlotte Coliseum, you're going to find out that when we're at war, you expect everybody that's on your side to be there on your side. You're not on my side anymore, and you and Johnny Weaver are going to find out why.
Johnny Weaver's still around.
Well, he was mentoring
Private Nelson.
Youngblood and Steamboat.
Youngblood and Steamboat.
Yeah. I want to throw this out there. I thought it was hilarious that, you know, Slaughter's ranting and raving about how his hat was stolen by Private Jim Nelson. And meanwhile, on the bottom of the screen, I guess it's got like information for the event, but yeah. It's also mentioning that it's sponsored by a place called National Hat Shop.
Yep, National Hat Shop.
So the dude has his hat stolen. You know, if you have your hat stolen, you know, make sure to stop by National Hat Shop.
Just stop right there in Charlotte. Go National Hat Shop. Go see Harry in the back. Harry's going to fit your big old head and get you the best hat you can get on this part of the Carolinas.
And you'll probably see Slaughter and Dutch Mantel and other guys who have had their hats stolen.
Absolutely.
In wrestling business.
I always take you to Bob Cottle, who's now with the rejuvenated Private Nelson.
Attention, Hunt, Private Gomer Slaughter. You know, I noticed you frowning out here. You're not angry with me, are you? You know, I don't think I could stand it if I thought you was angry with me. But come Charlotte, you're going to really be hot when it's all over, because I'm going to do something that'd be worse than breaking your leg or your arm, and that's putting your shoulders down for that 1-2-3 count. That hurts you more than anything in the world, and Johnny Weaver will be there to watch my back.
You can actually go to the National Hat Shop and buy your tickets with MasterCard or Visa to the March 5th Coliseum show.
While you're replacing your lost or stolen hat.
Your gallon hat, right. Right. So now,
which is funny, because that hat doesn't even fit his big old head.
Right.
He's wearing it around.
All right, so you want to skip one or two here? You want to go right to them, or there's three more.
Basically, the rest of this stuff is just them talking shit.
Well, they get to Private Nelson.
Yeah, it ends off with Slaughter and Kernoodle destroying
Rotundo. What a wrestler.
Right.
While he's tagging up with Mike Rotundo.
Mike Rotundo, yeah. Mike Rotunda. So, and that's, you want to just get right into this real quick?
I'll play the last 40 seconds. It's a cage match. Like,
No. The Private Nelson beating. Hold on.
Yeah.
Match is over, they call. Having a disqualification. Rotundo gets kicked back out of there.
Got the Cobra.
Cobra clutch.
Pulling it out.
Canoodle picks the legs up.
That's right.
With a Cobra
clutch
and holding
her
feet.
Yeah, here come Jay Youngblood and Rick Steamboat for the save.
Here they come. Jay Youngblood and Rick Steamboat.
And there it is.
They're waving away. Steamboat and Youngblood, Slaughter and Canoodle, they're out in our studio. You know, David, this kind of action had them barred from the studio for a long time.
That's right. Slaughter and Canoodle, wisely, back up. You've got three men in there now. Four men. Nelson, Rotundo, Steamboat.
Nelson, Rotundo. Sorry.
But they fuck up. They fuck the shit out of Jim Nelson. They got him in the Cobra clutch.
And Canoodle picks his legs up so he couldn't move.
Yes, yeah, stretching him while this is being applied to him. Putting the gears to him, and Jim Nelson is out of the picture. Do you know who Jim Nelson later became?
No.
He was the future Boris Zukov.
No shit.
Yeah. So your American patriot, Private Jim Nelson, went on the dark side with the CCCP.
Well, ironically,
Soviet Union.
Yeah, ironically, fucking so did
Kernoodle.
Kernoodle, and so did Slaughter. They all did.
They all jumped ship
later on.
They all
jumped
ship,
became fucking some kind of
commie
sympathizers. All right.
Yeah. Kernoodle went with Ivan Koloff later on, and they had a tag title win, and Sergeant Slaughter obviously was the Iraqi sympathizer.
That's right. All right, Dave.
Lost the Desert Storm match.
That's right. So here we are, March the 12th, 1983. This is the NWA's final conflict from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yeah.
This was
Flair's other daughter.
This was a huge sellout, actually, from what I read.
According to Kernoodle, they turned away 20,000 people from the show. I find that a little hard to believe, but he said that's what the police told him. They turned away 20,000 people to see the show.
Right. So now Steamboat and Youngblood, if they would have lost, they have to split up and never wrestle again. If they won, they become the World Tag Team Champions for the fourth time at this point.
Yeah.
This was in a cage, and the crowd was over the top excited, and this made this for me seem almost like the world is changing, the way this is built up.
The way that it was built up is so perfect. You have the World Tag Team Champions, you know, jealous of another tag team, you know, who are being called the uncrowned tag team champions. They go out of their way to, you know, physically put one of the dudes on the shelf and creating all these destructive moves, doing everything that they can to eliminate these guys. Then, out of nowhere, you know, they have a defector who gives away all their secrets. They figure out a way to break the Cobra clutch, you know, and if you want to be successful in wrestling, if you want to learn how to build a feud properly, you got to study everything that we, you know, just discussed for this episode and even going into this match. And one thing I didn't get to talk about, all of these matches that that we talked about, even the jobber matches, you know, getting right into this cage match, everything looks legit. These guys are beating the shit out of each other. Slaughter and Kernoodle as a tag team, they were tight. They didn't do cheap. They didn't do any cheap heat stuff. They didn't pull the tights. They didn't, use the ropes for leverage. They beat the hell out of their opponents. And when they put them in, you know, moves like the Cobra clutch, they try to, like, you know, stretch the guy while it's going on. Like, they were ruthless. They were legit heels. They weren't taking any cheap routes to get any wins. They just won because they beat the hell out of their opponents.
That's right. And just to remind you, this is 31 years old. Okay.
31 years old. It's older than me.
This is the epitome of storytelling. One of the epitomes of storytelling.
Tag team wrestling. It's pro wrestling at its finest.
You're not going to get at this point. And let me tell you what else. I got my footage. Now, Dave made me a DVD. Was okay. A year ago, he made a DVD for me. That's how long we wanted to do this. Okay, that's first of all. Second of all, I got another copy from YouTube, which had the NWA put out a video of this. There were two title matches that did not make the video. Did you know that?
Yeah, there was Flair versus
Greg the Hammer Valentine.
That went to a draw. Was that for the U.S. title?
No, the world title.
For the world title?
Yes, and a television title match between Dirty Dick Slater and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
That's on the DVD.
No. I mean, yeah, but I'm talking about the footage I got here on YouTube.
Okay. Well, if you watch the DVD...
Yeah, DVD has the Dick Slater Piper match.
It has the Piper-Slater match, but it doesn't have the Flair match on it.
No. So, you want to go to... we're not going to go cover every... I have the card from that night.
Yeah.
Some guys wrestled... It was like a toy, the Great American Bash. Yeah, Jerry Briscoe beating Ken Timms. Mike Rotundo beat Black Bart. Jim Nelson and Johnny Weaver beat Gene Anderson and Red Dog Lean. I just mentioned Roddy Piper and Dick Slater. Jim Nelson actually fought Jack Briscoe the night before, and Ric Flair fought Jim Nelson on that tour also.
Yeah.
So now, you ready, Dave?
We got breaking news. The chat room is back.
The chat room's back?
It's back.
All right. Just in time for the main event. Hold on a second. Yes. All right. Chat room is back. Holy shit. Good looking out, AA.
Yeah.
All right. Well, whoever fixed it. Either way.
Whoever was it.
So here we go.
Thank you, you mysterious man.
Welcome back. Let's ring the bell for the main event, shall we? All right. How about this, dude? The champs come out to the Rocky theme.
They come out to Gonna Fly Now.
By Bill Conti.
And Steamboat and Youngblood come out to nothing.
Right. Canoodle has the wrong date on his shirt.
Well, he had it specifically because, what was it? I think on the back of it, it says still tag team champions, Sergeant Slaughter and Don Canoodle.
Maybe that's why he did it.
Yeah.
All right. Sarge, what looks like to be a velour sweatsuit. Dude. Dude, how snazzy was Sarge through this whole entire feud?
Well, you know the guy's Slaughter's original gimmick. I think he actually called himself Beautiful Bobby. So he was like the original Beautiful Bobby, and the guy had like a Playboy, you know, sexy gimmick when he first started, believe it or not.
Yeah, listen, I'm a big
so fan. I don't doubt the man's style. If the guy's coming out with some velvet, you know, robe, you know, he earned it. He's got it. He was bringing sexy back, even back in 83.
So, Sandy Scott was a special guest referee. He was an advisor. Apparently, they mentioned him as a former wrestler. I couldn't get anything on him.
Well, our boy Scott posted a Wikipedia page, so we can all check that out.
Thank you, Scott. Scott! I get that sound clip. David Crockett and Bob Cottle calling the action. The match starts off. It's very headlock heavy. Steamboat and they call it the half hour headlock era.
Yeah. Well, but, hey, you know, that's where the brain's attached, and if you can wear the man down where he can't think straight, that's how you got to do it. It made sense.
But here's where I want the younger fan to take this match, and we're gonna post the match. Dave will probably post it before I will on the Facebook page. I want you to watch the match in its entirety. Guys, the younger fans. I'm pointing this to the younger fans. And I want
Rage.
Rage, right. I want you guys to, and anybody else who's under 30 years old, I want you guys to watch this match. And I want you to look at the first 5 to 10 minutes of this match. Now, Steamboat and Youngblood cut the ring off so well that Canoodle couldn't get a tag.
Sergeant Slaughter didn't get a tag in for like the first 5-7 minutes of the match.
Maybe even longer than that.
Yeah.
The first
Slaughter could not get in there. He could not do a thing.
They got headlocks down to the mat, a couple of two counts. David Crockett yells a lot after a big
kick.
Yeah. David Crockett, I noticed this. David Crockett yells a lot after a big spot on when the team regains the upper hand.
Well, that's when he's done his entire career as a broadcast journalist.
When the face team gets the upper hand, right? Canoodle, for a long period of time, again, like I just mentioned, with no tag, as the challengers cut the ring off with frequent hot tags.
Okay. Yeah.
Sarge finally gets in and eats the cage right away.
Immediately. So even when he got his chance in the ring, he screwed it up.
Right. So how about Sarge doing a fucking leapfrog?
Yeah, I was first of all, a lot of dudes back then, I don't know, like they had some mystical, you know, magic, you know, beans to make them jump or something. I remember like Warrior doing a friggin' leapfrog. There's a lot of dudes out there who can jump.
Right.
A white man can jump.
Right.
Slaughter
obviously
was one of them.
Slaughter was a big man.
Came off the top of the goddamn cage during this match.
We'll get into that in a second.
Yeah.
And then smashes Youngblood into the cage. And finally, there's some color in the match after almost 15 minutes.
Yeah.
The champs regain the momentum now. Youngblood again gets smashed into the cage. I mentioned that these old school cages were so gruesome looking.
Well, yeah, it was basically your typical fence cage, but, you know, that middle bar, that middle rod, you know, dividing the cages. They went for that.
Right. No.
Because you could bounce a guy off the fence and, you know, whatever. But if your head hits that pole, that's right, that's splitting them in the middle. You know, that's what they're going for.
Now, Dave, did you notice the announcers kept referencing the fact that the champs had their hands and fingers taped for this match?
Yes.
And they didn't point out the reasons why.
But they pointed it out.
They kept pointing it out several times. The champs now cut the ring off relentless on Jay. They gave Jay Youngblood a beating. Like, literally, Jay Youngblood caught a... Canoodle got it in the beginning, but Jay Youngblood really got it when the champs...
Yeah, he was the sacrificial lamb. He's like the weak link of the team, so they got to focus on him to take him out.
Right, and both teams, to their credit, do a great job of selling the entire cage and double team spots.
That brings me back the days when people used to sell when they got hurt.
Right, and they do a really good job selling the entire cage and all the double team spots. Canoodle's now juiced. Sarge does his best Jimmy Superfly Snuka off the top of the cage.
Yeah, and misses.
And epically fails.
Still, Slaughter going to the top of the cage. Who the hell would have thought a dude of that size, you know, and height would be jumping off a cage?
Right. No, absolutely. It was great. Steamboat obviously moves out of the way, gets the tag.
Next time that Slaughter went to the top rope or any sort of height was, I think, maybe his match with Hogan at WrestleMania.
So Steamboat was out of the way. The challengers now have the upper hand, hitting a double chop on Canoodle. There's blood all over the mat.
Yeah.
The champs get a double noggin knocker on the challengers get a double noggin knocker on the champs. Canoodle is a bloody mess at this point, as they slam Sarge into the cage. Challengers then manage to put both of the champs in Cobra clutches. This is awesome.
Yeah. Well, one was a sleeper.
Yeah, well, look, they mentioned the guy else, Cobra
Bob
Clutch.
Bob Cottle was saying, double Cobra Clutch.
Right.
It was a sleeper.
So.
Let's be real here, Phil.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. Sarge loads the elbow. Elbow pad, breaks free, loads the elbow pad, and hits Jay Youngblood with a wicked clothesline.
The slaughter cannon,
if you will. Then rolls Canoodle onto Youngblood, and then, well, no, he's, no, I'm sorry, He does a wicked clothesline, then rolls Knoedl onto Jay Youngblood, and Steamboat comes in and sneaks over and reverses Youngblood onto Knoedl, who's still a bloody mess. And that's he get the three count.
Which is funny because the Knoedl interview that I read, they did that on purpose. So it could lead to, other matches, which, was going to happen. It was a logical way to create rematches. And it gave them, some ammunition to say when they went on TV the next time, saying, hey, he didn't really, win the match. Both guys were knocked out and he threw his partner on top of mine. So it wasn't a legit win.
And for your fourth time, your world tag team champions, Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood.
Yeah.
They and, went on.
New champs are congratulated by Johnny Weaver.
Yeah. I believe they. I'm trying to do this by memory. I believe they were six-time tag team champions. I might be wrong, but I believe they won the belts two more times after this.
Well, I know they beat the Briscoes at Starrcade 83.
Right, so that's five.
Which was later on in the month, later on in the year, rather.
So that's five, and then you think you won it one more time. And maybe the chat room could, get that up for me. But there it is, final conflict. And this has been almost a year in the making for Dave and I. We always wanted to do this.
Yeah, this is a big deal. This was, just one of the few feuds that we can go in-depth about. Had most of the YouTube, most of the video clips and interviews and stuff like that. It seems, judging by some of the things that they say, like there probably are some missing things out of there. But for the most part, it has all the important parts, and just goes to show, you can put together an amazing feud, based off of these just these little things, tearing up Tommy Peterson's photo, one guy defects over and gives all the secrets away, the champions are trying to take out the challengers and, make sure that they never wrestle again, all these little things. And they build up to this one huge cage match where supposedly 20,000 people were turned away. How many, can WWE say that? No. Can ROH say that? No. Dragon Gate, beyond all them, they can't boast, these kind of claims that these guys did in the past, because people thought it was real back then.
Again, the epitome of tag team wrestling, mid-Atlantic, mid-80s, there was nothing like it. This was a fantastic, and not for nothing, don't get this twisted, Dave and I did not have the build-up before this.
I had the build up.
You had the build up. I didn't have the build up.
Yeah, I only gave you the DVD with the events. That was it.
Right. So I had that, and then I got the YouTube.
You found it on your own.
I found it on my own, and that solidified it. It put the entire match into perspective. We could have did it without the build up, but we just wanted to let you guys know that this is how things were, and this is how it was, and how we appreciate it as wrestling fans. We think you guys have deserved that, And for me, that was one of the best build-ups ever. Won't you agree?
I absolutely 100% agree.
All right, so before we get into our plugs and we get into the end of the show, I want to make a couple of announcements. Next week, which is, I believe, the 30th of April, our last show in April, we are going to go extreme, taking it back to 1998. It's going to be the ECW It Ain't Seinfeld from the Elks Lodge in beautiful Queens, New York.
You've been hyping up this one for a while, too.
Not only was I there, but I took my buddy Tank. You guys all know Tank in the chat room. Tank was with me. Tank's going to be calling in with us. He's going to be hanging out with us for the throwback. And we're going to talk about that night. That was a very, very, very special night for us. They were hyping that card something fierce. And I had gotten tickets, and me and Tommy went over, and it was great. We had some snacks over at the Wendy's across the street on Queens Boulevard. And I don't know if this was Tommy's first ECW card. I believe it was. And it was funny because we'll get into it next week, but this was, you know, I wasn't a Seinfeld fan. So apparently Seinfeld was, it was like the last episode of Seinfeld. Never watched the show. Never. I didn't watch the show until they started playing reruns.
So, yeah, I was not a big fan of the show when it came out, just because it was just so pretentious, and it's so New York, to say the least, and that's why I didn't like it. But I learned to enjoy it, just to, like, hey, it's just a TV show, whatever. But there's a lot of truths in that show.
Yes, so it was
Which I don't like.
I think Tommy just confirmed it in the chat room. It was his first ECW show. Yes, it was. Okay, cool. Tommy's going to be calling in and talking to us about the card because he was there. And we sat in the balcony and we fucking were rowdy and it was great and it was a good night. And on top of that, Dave and I had a brainstorm about, you know, you guys, we're all doing this tag team wrestling on the Facebook. We love tag team wrestling. This got us in the mood for tag team wrestling. We're going to dedicate an entire month and showcase different tag teams for next month, which is the month of May. Content is we're still working on, and I just got a confirmation that I'm going to be getting my hands on some merchandise to give away as contest prizes. Ooh. Yeah, Attitude Era, you know, novelties, and I'll leave it as that. Apparently, my brother-in-law called me up and said I got the stuff. They want to get rid of, and it's in some basement at some store, and I knew you'd probably want it, and I said, of course, we could probably give it away as gifts or prizes. So there you go. We're going to have contests. We're going to have tag teams, and we're going to kick ass the only way we know how is that's Turnbuckle Throwback style.
Hell yeah.
So we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Let's start playing some music. A little Michael Jackson for you. All right, facebook.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Twitter at tbuckletbacks on the tweet machine. You can email us, turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Buzzsprout. We're on The Rant every friggin' week live, rantdmradio.com. Don't forget.
We're alive.
We're alive. Don't forget this Friday night, The Rant, 10 p.m. Wasn't on last night. Gonna be a good show. I'm gonna try to join that in if I'm home in time. What else we got going on over here? Shining Wizards tomorrow. That's gonna be great. Listen for that. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
Exclusive interview with
Luke Hawks and Papadon. Shout out to them, of course, our brothers from other mothers. The Midnight Jury, Neckbreaker Podcast, 2.5 Wrestlers, Fallen Angels, Apex Radio, Wolfman Jack Foley, Just Incredible Pro Wrestling 101. Haven't heard from him in a while. I mentioned The Rant, The Wrestling Call-In Show, What Are You Reading, Don Tony and Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, The Bloke Show, Mega Powers Radio, NXT Cast, Metal Thunder Radio, Tattoos and Touchdowns every Sunday live on MoleLikeRadio.com, and Uncle Eddie and Ham Radio Show. Dave, any closing comments?
No, that's it for now. I'm looking forward to the ECW episode next week, and more importantly, the tag team month of May.
Word. All right, so that's
word life.
Word life.
Happy birthday, Axel Foley.
Axel, have a great
and John
birthday.
Cena
and John Cena. Whoever's having a birthday this week, happy birthday. Happy spring, everybody. Happy spring. Now.
Spring into spring.
It's going to be a great couple of months, guys. We hope you can join us. Thank you so much, as always. You have the best fans ever. We're back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. New one, Silent Majority, coming this weekend as well.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. She was on fire last week, kids. All right, kids. For Dave, I am the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, bidding you adieu. And, of course, as always, keep a tight ass. And avoid the clap. Good night, kids.
Peace.